a long, long time ago in a land far away. Luke 18:15. We would gather our kids together on the Sunday following the marriage retreat, which was that weekend, because we were exhausted. We'd spent all weekend long looking at each other as couples, trying not to get mad and fight. trying to conserve our energy because we're exhausted. And then our kids had been with somebody else all weekend, probably parents or grandparents or something like that. And we'd get them back together and they'd be wild as March hares. They were crazy. So having regular church was futile. So what we decided we'd do is, on that Sunday, we would spend the whole evening praying and prophesying over our children. And back then, the people that were my age, old people, had children. And we had a lot of little children. And so it took a long time. And there were times when we would pray two and a half hours after an hour of worship for our kids. It was exhausting, but we prayed for every child, spoke over every child, and some of the children still remember some of the things that were prayed over them at that time. I don't, because I'm old and I don't remember things, but some people remember some of the stuff that's prayed over their kids. I believe it's a hugely valuable thing to prophesy over children because they have a destiny, and we want to call that out in them. Becca tonight, her two boys can't be here, so she brought pictures of her boys. We're going to pray for her two boys because it's that important to her. I don't know if there's a whole lot that we do that's more important than minister to our kids. Because however messed up you think the world is right now, we ain't seen nothing yet. And what they're coming into, I mean, I actually know young people that are in their 20s who are refusing to have kids because they don't want to bring them into this world, which is a little weird. Who are they leaving this world up to? I mean, whose hands are they leaving this world in? It's kind of weird if you think about it. I didn't know that there was a group called Quiverful. Have you ever heard of that group? There is a group on the internet somewhere out there in internet land called Quiverful, based upon the scripture that talks about having a quiverful of children. Basically, they believe that you should have as many children as you can because those kids are going to be the change makers. And so their idea is overpopulate, you know, from their perspective. We're going to have as many kids as we can have so that we'll have as large an influence as we can over the world around us. That's scary. I mean, again, if you're listening to this, my children who have one child, Scott and David, and can't handle it, I'm thinking, oh my gosh. No offense, girls. Just close your ears. Just pretend like I'm a nice guy. But we had a lot of children. I mean, there was a lot of children in our lives. And yet, I believe that they were raised well. I mean, they really can be difference makers in the world around us. Which brings me to Luke chapter 18, verse 15. I don't know why, but I never saw this until tonight, which should maybe scare you a bit because I should know this. At least I'm honest. I never saw this. I was thinking, I know the scripture of the children coming to Jesus and the disciples saying, yeah, keep them away. And Jesus saying, no, you let them come. But I never saw that they were brought there by their parents. Did you ever see that? Do you ever notice that? Their parents brought the children. I kind of had this picture that Jesus was just sitting on a rocking chair. If they made rocking chairs, he was a carpenter. He probably was ahead of his time. He made rocking chairs. I was just thinking, he was sitting on his rocking chair, and all the children just kind of, oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And they climbed up in his lap, and the disciples were appalled at this whole idea, and they told him to get back. This is the Messiah. Step away from the Messiah, you know. But that is not what happened at all. It says in Luke 18, one day some parents brought their little children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. They got there because their parents brought them there, which is exactly what we're doing tonight. We're bringing our children to Jesus. And so that he can touch and bless them. If the things that we pray for them get imparted to them tonight, it's the same thing that we see here in Luke 18. The children, no, don't worry. There's no way you can settle Judah down. I don't care how hard you try. He is who he is. And he'll keep going in circles all night long. And you know the way that we'll deal with Judah? We'll pray for him first. No, it's okay. I don't care. He's adorable. And he's probably been Fetch Your Girl Day. Because his mom eats chocolate. Because that's what she does. So we're going to bring our kids to Jesus tonight. And the way this works is really simple. You want me to read this? If I brought it up, I should at least read the scripture. I don't have that with me. Luke, do you have it in front of you? Well, bring it up here and you read it. Stop telling me what to do. No, you read it.
Jesus blesses the children. The people began to bring their babies and small children to Jesus so that he might lay hands on them to bless them. When the disciples saw this, it bothered them. So they scolded the parents and told them to stop troubling the master. But Jesus called for the parents first, the children, and his disciples to come and listen to him. Then he told them, "Never hinder a child from coming to me. Let them all come, for the kingdom realm of God belongs to them as much as it does to anyone else. They demonstrate to you what faith is all about. Learn this well. Unless you receive the revelation of the kingdom realm the same way a little child receives it, you will never be able to enter in."
That's good. I didn't even realize that either, that the disciples rebuked the parents. Yeah. So there. So we're not going to rebuke parents tonight. In fact, I think you should get a reward for bringing your children tonight because it's biblical. It's in Luke 18 to bring your children. So what we're going to do is this. We're going to bring the kids up here. It's funny, too, because I'm so in trouble. I used to sit up here, and the kids used to come up and sit on my lap, and then people would pray for them while they're sitting up here. And I think part of it was to corral them and keep them in one spot. But the other part of it was just to show them that the pastor wasn't off limits to the kids. Because, which is a weird thing in our culture, but it's kind of like a lot of pastors are the guy who is in this special clothes,
yeah,
and sits up front and comes up front and talks, but nobody really talks to him except at the door when he shakes their hand. And so early on, it was like we wanted to break that wall down and give the kids as much access to the pastor as they want, so they'd come up and sit. Some of them, that was kind of a scary thing for them or a first thing for them, but the scary part was actually for me because I had to try to remember every one of their names, and I'm terrible at names, and so it was always risky, and I always messed it up, but we're going to do that tonight. I'm going to stay up here. What we're going to do is we're going to put the mic up here, and I want you to pray into the mic when you pray for the kids. And so we'll just set it up here and just kind of note that this is the child we're praying for, whoever is up here. And then just grab the mic and come and just begin to pray over them. And the way it works is really simple. You just ask the Lord what to pray for. You just ask him, what do you want to say, Lord, over this child? Or what do you think about this child? Or what's ahead for this child that I can begin to speak out as if it is truth right now? And so you're calling out their destiny and their lives. Does that make sense? So you got to be bold. Yes, Lisa, come forth. And Renee, come on up.
I actually just wanted to say this because this is so important to me. And it actually has to do with Renee. I've told people this before, but it's worth mentioning again. My daughter Megan, when she, her husband was in the military and they had to go over to Germany. And she was in the middle of a really hard time. She had a new baby boy that she was trying to raise away from us and all of that in Germany. And she was struggling like crazy. And she was really questioning if she was supposed to be there or if she was supposed to come and be in the States with us. And I, as she called me, just hysterical because she was struggling being away from home, I looked. We literally were FaceTiming, except for it wasn't called FaceTime then, it was Skype. But we were Skyping, and I said, wait a minute, there was a prophetic word over your life, let me go grab it. And it was a word that Renee had given to my daughter years before when she was little here at Evangel. And the word was, you were called to be in Europe. And when the Lord's going to take you, and she started naming the nations that she would touch in Europe, and that it was the hand of the Lord to make her strong in that hour. And so when she ended up in the three nations that Renee had named, it was just confirmation that she was supposed to be there. It was a strengthening time in her life. And had we not had that word from the Lord then, I probably would have agreed to bring her home. And so it's one of those things that the word of the Lord strengthened her marriage, but it gave her purpose and direction and understanding in a season. So whatever you hear spoken over your kids tonight, file it away because, you know, all of a sudden they might be 24, 25 and need to hear it.
Cindy and I were talking about speaking over the kids, and I've been thinking about it a little bit. I just have a little bit of thought. The Lord will clearly give you specific words, but consider their age for one thing, because you know they can only understand so much, and however young they are, and keep it simple, because they are. And I just think of the things that in the scriptures when Mary remembered the things that, the different things that Jesus did. She kept them in mind. And as parents, you need to do that. When you hear words for your children, to keep them in mind and to jot them down. But don't chain them with it. You know, be careful not to chain them with it, because a prophetic word can... you know, it can be on the mark or it can be off. And so you need to kind of be open-handed with it, I guess. I just remember when we first started getting prophetic words over us, we had a great pastor. I still love him today. Sam Poe. But he was into prophecy in a big way. And he just said, the prophetic word, you know, some things are going to see right away. Some things you might not see for years and years and years and years. And just be cautious with, you put them on the shelf. And if you see them, you see them. But, you know, there's freedom in it. You know, we're human beings and we're flawed. But to me, the children, you just need to write it down for your daughter. And you know what? I have to tell you, I think it was Renee Greeley.
No, it was you.
Really? Whoa. I'm so don't remember that. But I would think Renee Greeley would do that. She seems... Anyway, I don't know. I just... these darling children, it's a privilege.
I think it's wonderful that you're going to do this tonight, and or we're going to do this, but I wanted to share when we were at Kelso First Assembly many years ago, and Krista was... maybe 12, and Lori Pingree prayed over her and prophesied. And I remember Krista was taking piano lessons at the time, and she would try to sing, but she just could not carry a tune in a bucket. You know, it was bad. I'm telling you, it was really bad. And I thought, okay, Lord, she's never going to be a singer, you know. And I remember Lori Pingree prayed over her and prophesied that the songs of heaven would flow through her, and that she would have this beautiful voice, and that God would give her songs from heaven. And I thought to myself, truly, Lori's really off on this one. I really did. It wasn't long after that she began singing, and it was like, it was beautiful. And then she began writing music at a very young age, and these anointed songs of worship flowed out of her. And it was just, to me, that was really miraculous. So I just wanted to share that.
Well, Lord, we just, I just am, thank you for Jude. Thank you for his life, Lord. Thank you for his father. Thank you for his mother. Jesus, that just that he has a name that you gave him, Lord, through his parents. And just that, Lord, he's firstborn. He's cautious, Lord. I see him cautious in the Sunday school classroom. He's listening, but he's a watchman, and I see that in him, Lord. And I pray over him that he has a deep understanding that, Lord, unless the Lord be the watchmen watch in vain, and that you would breathe your breath of that prophetic breath of watching, empowered by you in him, that he would know what that means, that it's not on his own power, but on the power that you breathe into him, Lord.
Well, I just saw his picture. Renee held it up, and I immediately heard the word leader, that he is going to be leading others, other kids, to know Jesus. And it's just like I can look in his eyes, and I can see Jesus there.
I just heard that he was detail-oriented, and he asks a lot of questions because he wants a lot of detail. And so, Lord, we bless that inquisitiveness that you've given to him, because you are using it for him to be the man that he was created to be.
I keep hearing the song, Hey Jude, and it just won't go away, so I'll let you just, with Jude, figure that out. But more than anything, the first part of it, Hey Jude, take a sad song and make it better. That's what came to mind.
Whoever said he was a leader, he's a leader because he understands the rules. And as he begins to understand the laws and the mitzvahs of the Lord, he will be a leader, and he will take him great places because he's willing.
Yeah. Well, his name Boston. This is odd, but I heard Boston cream pie. And it's like his heart is like a cream pie. It's soft. And it's sweet. Yeah, I mean, you can just look at him. He's just adorable.
That's cool. I heard captured by my love. He is one who has a heart that's captured by my love because he's very sweet. So goes right with it.
That's good, because I got lovable. Delicious and lovable.
I got the word ranger.
Do you remember me? I had your pictures in my phone and I couldn't find it, but you got saved in our Sunday school, right? You asked Jesus into your heart and I took your picture. It was like a year ago or something like that. No, I don't think it was 2 years ago. But you remember that, right? Yeah. How old are you? 7. Lord bless him. And you put milestones, and that is the biggest thing that can ever happen to somebody, is ask you into their heart, Lord. And help that grow in understanding for him, Lord.
Braxton, what's your last name?
Smith.
Smith. Well, just that the Lord, your name, Braxton Smith, is very important to the Lord. He knows your name, and you're important, but your name is important to him. What does Braxton mean? Does anybody know the meaning of Braxton? Well, you know what, Braxton, I'm going to look it up, and when you come back to church, I'm going to tell you what your name means. But
somebody's probably looking it up right now.
The Lord cares about you and wants you to know that your name is important to him, but you're important as your name is.
I just saw a rainbow and heard the Lord say promises, and God's given you promises in your heart, and he's going to keep those promises. And so just as promises come in and you feel them, just know that God's going to keep those promises.
Braxton, do you like music? I really believe God's going to use you in music. If you love music, don't ever forget about that. Because I believe if you love it, he's going to show you how to play these instruments. And whatever that instrument that you really love, that he's given you that love. He's given you a passion. When I was about your age, I was a drummer and didn't really know it. But Mom placed a little drum at my feet when I was tapping at our home. So I'm just praying that if you love music, I pray that God will use you to lead worship, to be a part of worship. So don't forget that. Don't forget that love of music. He gave that to you.
What instrument would you like to play if you could play anything? Guitar? Somebody needs a lay guitar hands on this kid.
Ooh. Well, what I heard, and I don't, do you know who David is in the Bible? King David? He was a worshiper. And when I first saw you, that's what I heard. You have a heart like David. And I didn't know if you would understand that, but I know Grandpa does, and Grandma. And he did. He he played the, what did he play? The lyre? Lyre, whatever you say it. Yeah, like a guitar. And he sang, and he wrote poetry and psalms to Jesus. So that's cool. Well, you know what? I heard wild, but I didn't know if I should say it. But I did. I heard wild.
Now, Braxton, I don't know you, and I apologize for that, but I saw the word strength, and it wasn't like seeing the word strong, but it was in big, bold letters, strength. But at the same time, the edges were smooth. So you're going to be strong, but you're going to be kind. Does that make sense?
Libby, I see you as a sparkler. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And you've got the joy of the Lord all over you.
You know what I saw? I think with just your smile, you're a healer. That God will use you to heal. Keep that smile. It's a beautiful smile.
Intercessor.
And this kind of goes along with intercessor, Libby. It's deep, that you feel things very deep in your heart, and then you like to pray. So that's an intercessor.
I'll beat her to it, but I know I heard the Lord say that you, in a room, you look at the person that's really hurting and you go to them and help them. And it's, you think that you don't realize how big of a deal that is. That's huge. Every time you help somebody that's hurting, Jesus sees it and he smiles at you.
You have two scriptures that I know for sure are over your life. And the first scripture is John 10:10, that the enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus Christ came that we would have life and have it more abundantly. And that's a scripture that's been over your life since you were born. And then the other scripture that I didn't know about until just now, the Lord told me the scripture over your life is Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. I am no longer alive, but it is Christ who lives in me. And you're going to be one who spends your whole life letting Jesus be expressed through you.
That's cool. Well, and I really heard the Lord say that he wants you to know that you are beautiful in his eyes. And you know, I think you know this even though you're, how old are you, 9 or 9 years old? I think you know this, but it's a kind of an older thing to know that God doesn't look at the outward beauty. Even though you are outwardly beautiful, he's looking at your beautiful heart, the beautiful heart that you have, and he's pleased with it.
Libby, you see what Jesus sees, and that goes along with what Jody says, is that you see the people that are hurting in the room, but he's giving you eyes to see exactly what he's seeing. And you've got a kindness that goes along with it.
Well, we've gotten to know each other by being in class a lot. But what I thought was, I mean, you're a kid and you have all the, but you're beyond your years in some areas of your life, you know, and you've even gotten after me in there for being silly, and I had to apologize to you, which is fine. That was cool. But just that the Lord has accelerated you in some areas of your life. You'll stand up for what's right, and that's a good quality. Be a kid, be your age, but know that the Lord's pushed you ahead in some areas where you've, you know, you'll stand up for things that kids your age won't.
One of the things I've noticed since you've been sitting here is you seem to be really aware of your posture. You keep straightening up, straightening up, straightening up. And God is really aware of what is inside of you, Libby. And how would you say alignment in a way that made sense? He really cares about things being done the right way. And he's going to give you the ability to see how things should be done the right way. Don't be afraid to tell people that's not the right way. This is the right way. Because alignment is a big part of your life.
Just to confirm, I got the same thing, Tracy. Jesus, you see people through Jesus' eyes.
I was going to pray for you for something else too, but I'll add that to the list. But we know, Libby, because you're part of us, we know that you hear from God very clearly. And I want to pray for protection over that and that you would continue to do that through your years. So Lord, we do just lift Libby before you and ask that you would, that her ears would hear you clearly all the days of her lives, Lord. And we also just pray over her physically, over her from disease and pain and suffering and injury, Lord, just all the days of her lives too, that she would walk hand in hand with you.
Never spoken this over anybody ever. She has a thing about her that's like Graham Cook. There's an amazing understanding of the Father's heart of love that she's going to carry in an incredible, incredible way. Like, she's going to be somebody who can open up areas to people in their thinking of being able to receive love, even wounded people who've been wounded and push back people usually. She's going to be one of those who can reach out to them and communicate and break through barriers that they've never understood before. She's got a strong anointing like Graham Cook. Wow.
Ayla. She's not looking. She has such a calming effect. And she's just so aware, but she's also so taking, just so soft, you know, about taking all the details in around her, and such, she just is one of those moments that you don't get very often. I don't know how to explain it any other way, but it's just like you look at her, and there's just this peace that comes over you. She has that effect on people.
Lord, I just pray a blessing on Chelsea and Daddy's name is Matt. Chelsea and Matt, just how important it is, Lord, the parenting, the teaching, the pointing direction, the leading, the shooting them out as an arrow toward a mark. And I just pray for the mom and the dad, Lord, that they would be rich in their understanding of Ayla and how she needs to be directed. Give them just to breathe your breath, Lord, and help them to know when your presence comes upon them to teach and to direct not just Ayla, but their children, Lord, to come. And what a gift that Ayla is to them, and they know it. And they want to do their best job, Jesus. I just pray an empowerment, more presence from above than they ever could imagine in their parenting, Lord.
She's beautiful. She is so beautiful. And I feel like so much attention, she's going to receive so much attention for that in her life. But she's going to turn that attention and she's going to be like, it's not on me. It's not on me. And she's going to direct other people towards the Lord because of that.
When you said, let's pray for Jacob, I just heard instantly, I'm making you a fisher of men. So I know that you're a fisherman, Jacob, and you did some fishing this weekend, which was really cool to be around you when you were doing that. And I would ask you, I think I asked a couple of times, did you catch anything? And you're like, yeah. But Lord, I just thank you that you have placed that fisherman's heart in Jacob. And I just pray that you would increase that, and that you would rise him up to the calling that you have for him, Jesus, that you have called him to be a fisherman for you, for your kingdom. And I just thank you for his kind heart, and that you've made him to be just a kind young man. I see that. I just pray that that's contagious to the younger generation, that they would see that and they would want to know what he's got, and that he can do the same, that he can direct and say, that's Jesus.
I just, when he said Jacob, I heard the words mighty and strong. So I just pray that you would continue to grow into a mighty and strong man of God. And I don't know where that's going to lead you, but I think it's going to lead you somewhere and to some far places. So.
And I do think the Lord is growing. He's deepening your understanding of your strength, and you're just only going to get stronger. But like Gideon, the story of Gideon, I didn't know how that story went. How Gideon not me, but you are called the same way Gideon was called, and it's about the Lord's strength in you, and that's what you're beginning to understand. And I heard Jacob, you're our man. If you can't do it, nobody can.
I heard friend of God, and I believe there's so much in that. So I'm just going to pray over you. But also, I saw this thing where you'd like to defer to your younger brother at times. I saw this thing where you'd like to have him carry certain things and him be responsible for certain things instead. Like you'd like, oh, no, that would be his problem. That's what's on him. I see this thing there. And the Lord says, no, you're his friend. You're the friend of God. So, Lord, I ask right now that you would take Jacob into this deep, deep relationship of friendship, Lord, that he would be like John the Beloved, and he would have that whole realm open to him like John the Beloved has had open to him. And that all of a sudden he'd start to learn from a whole new dimension, Lord, of your spirit, and that he would be one who's taught of the Lord.
I saw a picture of you, Jacob. This is going to be kind of crazy, but I saw a picture of you with a briefcase and a suit. I know, it's just like, who would ever think? I think you think you're going to be out on a river somewhere. But I think the Lord's going to give you an amazing expertise in the area of business. He's going to make you really wise in business. And you're going to be able to solve problems in business that other people are really perplexed by. So don't be afraid of business. Don't be afraid of doing business.
Oh, sorry. This goes along with what Jeff just told you. The Lord started speaking to me about you earlier this week, and he said, Jacob's a thinker. He's a very deep thinker, and he has a way of reaching people that others don't even see. And you're going to have that when you go into this business realm, too, and you're going to be able to touch others because you're not only deep in your thinking, you're smart. And the Lord's going to give you wisdom. He already has, beyond your years. And so those are the things the Holy Spirit was telling me about you this week. Isn't that cool? That's cool.
I also got Fishers of Men earlier this week, but then he added a picture, and you're quiet and you're kind of shy, but that doesn't mean that you won't bring people to Jesus. You fish with a fishing pole. You don't catch a whole bunch of fish at once. You catch one at a time, and you wait patiently for them. And just remember that, because God will use you for that. One-on-one with people, you'll catch them.
Jacob, I've given you words before in Sunday school and here, but me and Jody both heard at the exact same time, mighty man of God. I heard mighty warrior, just and true. Yeah.
What grade are you going into? Eighth? Yeah. I just feel like the Lord, I want you to know the Lord's going to protect you and not let you grow up too fast. Because you're going to see kids doing stuff around you possibly that is something, I just want you to know he's going to give you, you know, there's a scripture that says, if you're tempted, if you turn your face to the Lord, he'll give you a way to escape that. And so I just feel like he's going to shelter you from stuff that could happen to you too soon, and, you know, a direction you could go that you shouldn't go in. And it's going to be him that's going to show you, go this way, don't go that way. And so you need to hear me.
So this is the scripture that goes with that, Jacob. Because he loves me, because you, Jacob, love him, I will rescue him. Because he knows my name, I will protect him. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him when he is in trouble. I will extradite him and bring him honor. I will satisfy him with a long life and show him my salvation. And not just saying, Jesus, I love you, you're my Lord and Savior, but he will, just like Mike said, he will show you salvation over and over again. When times of trouble come, he's going to be there for you. And you're a blessed young man. You come from generations of men that love God. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for Jacob, and we thank you for his dad, and we thank you for his grandfather, and all that have come before him. And have loved you, Yeshua, Jesus. And we just wait with great anticipation for how you will love and honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Jacob, there's a tenderness in your heart. And so that's the first thing I heard. And then I remembered the Lord brought back last night, when you were running through the field in the middle of the night playing capture the flag. And I remember going, he's just like a big puppy. And it kind of goes along with what Mike was saying, that, you know, not to grow up too fast, and that he's taking you just a little bit. You know how a puppy, you know, learns this and then that. And I'm not trying to degrade the young man you're becoming, but don't make it too fast. Don't push anything. That's what he was saying. He's got you, and he loves you, and he's put in you a tender, tender heart. And sometimes it's gonna look like, you know, you're not, you know, you kind of maybe lash. You know how puppies kind of lash out and that type of thing. Well, you're tall, and you're just like, you know, you were just all over that field. And then, you know, you went to tag somebody and they went down for the count. You didn't mean to, but, you know, so it was, you know, it's okay, because those things are going to happen. But in your heart, you just have God's heart, and he loves you.
Something that I felt like that as you grow older, truth is going to be something that becomes more and more important to you. And that as that becomes important to you, dig deep into the word. Dig deep into God's presence and who he is, and just worshiping him, praising him. And then when you set your roots deep in your identity in him, who he is and who he says you are, life will flourish and everything else will work out fine.
Hey, Cohen, remember we do archery in there? And you were, what? There's holes in the wall to prove it from the inside. Okay, so Cohen, how old are you?
Five.
The Lord wants you to know that you are, I've got a picture of you like, you know, pulling the bow back. And I think your mom said that you knew about bows or something already, but. You may not be very big, but you're going to do important stuff. You're going to do, you know, you were not shy about trying to shoot the bow. You're brave and you're courageous, and the Lord's going to help you grow in that and give you opportunities to use that. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's going to make opportunities for you to do important things. You are important.
Hi. I just heard that when Mike was talking to you and you were just looking at him and you were really taking it all in, and I heard that Jesus is going to give you a special gift of understanding. That you understand things now, but you're going to really, really understand things as you grow.
I heard your scripture was Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is about a whole bunch of people who have a lot of faith and all of the stuff that they believed because they had faith. And you're going to walk in the kind of faith that the company of Hebrews 11 walks in.
Hi. Because you're cute. Jesus thinks you're cute too. He thinks you're awesome. Do you ever worry about stuff? Like, get worried, mom or other people in your life? Do you worry about them sometimes? I felt like you'd get worried about people that you really love, and you see them sick, and you just worry about them, and it makes you sad inside, right? And Jesus wants you to know that when that happens, you just have to ask him to help you, and he's going to come, and he's going to make you not be worried anymore. I just felt like he says he's going to help you, and he's going to show you right now at the age of 5 what it means to trust him when you're worried, okay?
I just felt like that the Lord wanted me to tell you that he knows your name, Cohen. The Lord knows your name, and he's going to say, Cohen, I love you, and he wants you to hear his voice. And it's not a big, loud voice. It's small and quiet. Lord, just open Cohen's ears to hear your voice in the night. And even when he's playing on the playground, just that you would intensify his ears to hear your voice, and that he won't forget. You're not going to forget his voice. But he loves your name, Cohen, and he loves you.
When we came to sit up here in the front, and Braxton, your big brother Braxton, came to he came up and he was excited and he looked at me and he said, I can do a cartwheel. And do you remember what you did? You were excited too. You're very strong. I could see that. I could see that, because then you came up and you were like, I can do it too. And so I just saw your excitement, Cohen. And Lord, I just thank you for his excitement. And I just pray that you would increase that in Cohen, that you would increase his excitement and wanting to know you more and be excited about you and to share you and do cartwheels for you, for Jesus. That was really special to see you do that.
Cohen, the first thing I saw about you was your T-shirt. Do you know what it says? You don't even know what it says? It says, bring it on. Do you know what that means? It's like, give me your best, because I'm going to get after you real good. And so I just think that was a sign for me to see something about you. And I think you're very courageous. You're very brave.
I got the word step up. When no one else is going to be willing to step up and do something for God, you're going to step up and you're going to do it.
Cohen, do you know about David and Goliath? No? David was about as big as Jacob is, and he just took one little rock and he brought down an entire giant. Can you imagine that? No? You are gonna do big, big things in your life, okay? And you're not gonna be afraid because God's gonna be on your side.
Ava, you might not know this, but I knew you when you were really little. Do you remember? No. I worked at the daycare, and I was in the infant room and then the toddler room when you were little. And you were so sweet. I just remember all the different kids. I remember your face when you were that little and just toddling around. And you were just gonna cry. The Lord has made you so sweet. He wants you to know that that he loves your sweetness and that he loves that you are after his heart and that you're after what he wants. And the sweetness of him. And so, Lord, I just pray that for Ava, that you would just increase the sweet relationship that she has with you, and that you would increase the ability that has to spill out to others, that they would see sweetness and they would want to know where that comes from. And that you would give her the boldness to speak up and say, that's Jesus.
Well, I heard that I heard from Jesus that you dance for him. And I think she is a dancer, right? Are you already a dancer? But this is just what I heard from Jesus, that you are his dancer and that you dance for him and he loves it. He adores you and he loves it when you dance for him.
I'm not going to explain the book Ruth, but when I was there, maybe your grandma can tell you about it, but I felt like I heard Jesus say, she's a Ruth, and one of the things that Ruth was is she's very loyal. I bet you have lots of friends, yeah, because you're a good friend, and you're a loyal friend, and your loyalty is really important to God, and he sees every time that you're nice to your friends and you don't pick sides, but that you like them all the same and you're kind. Every time he sees that in your heart, and it really pleases him.
Well, I heard something a little different. I heard a song from the movie Rocky, which you probably know nothing about. But it's called The Eye of the Tiger, and I was hearing it play really loud in my head. And it says, it's the eye of the tiger, it's the thrill of the fight, rising up to the challenge of our rival. At the last known survivor stalks his prey in the night as he's watching us all with the eye of the tiger. And it has to do with being able to overcome stuff. It has to do with being able to be, when somebody would say it shouldn't happen, and they would say that you're not strong enough to do it, and the Lord would say, oh, just wait and watch. She's very strong to do it. She's a fighter. She has the ability to pull this off because I'm in her.
Along with that fighter, you have a passion and a creativity that's going to take you a really long ways. Because with that tenacity to fight, there's a passion in you, a Ruth, that is just going to grow and grow. I felt like the Lord said, the passion that's in her is going to just, your heart's just going to expand with the passion for his people. And he's not going to stop that. And you're going to reach many, many people through your creativity and through the compassion you have for your friends and for even people just walking by.
Yeah, there's a real, it's weird, there's a dignity about you. And do you know what that means, dignity? That means that people notice you in a way that makes them pay attention to you. And there's a real dignity. And I saw, I had this sense that there was, that you were going to be, have influence over nations. You're going to have influence in a national level, that you could become a lawyer if you wanted to, that you could be involved in politics if you wanted to. But there's a boldness inside of you, Ava, and a dignity in you that's going to draw people to you, and it's going to give you opportunities to do things that other people won't have opportunities to do. But Jesus is going to be very important at those times.
Phoenix, your hair is red. Did you know that? You have red hair like your mama's. Isn't that awesome? And you know what? I heard the Lord say that I've put a fire in him. Like your red hair. He put a fire in your heart for him, for Jesus. Yay, Jesus!
As soon as I looked up there, I heard the word flame. Yes, that Jesus has put a flame in your heart. Yeah. And you're a lover.
Hey, Phoenix. Phoenix. Hello. Hi. You know what? When I was watching you yesterday play, I just saw a little boy that is going to go a long ways. You were playing inside of that netted play area, and it was like, I'm not going to stay in here. And the Lord's taking you out of the box, and nothing's going to stop you. You are going to ride out of the box. There is nothing that's going to stop you, Phoenix. God loves you so much, and he's going to take you a long ways. You are amazing, little boy, and you love to play.
Phoenix, I saw you walking on this thing called a balance beam. It's a really small piece of wood, and you go like this when you walk on the balance beam, one foot in front of the other like that so you don't fall off. And I saw you being able to walk the balance beam of life. I saw you walking that where there was this really careful balance to make sure that you were walking the straight and narrow path. So I'm going to pray this over you. Lord, I ask that you would seal Phoenix. Can I touch you? I ask that you would seal Phoenix in protection, that he would walk the narrow way, that you would give him the grace to walk that narrow path and to not fall off in any way, Lord. I ask that you'd protect his life and that you would give him the ability to see you and to glorify your name.
Well, I love that you have orange hair. Yes, I would. But I happen to notice your shirt tonight, too. And you are going to be another one of our warriors, buddy. So you're going to fight for Team USA. Woo!
Phoenix, do you like superheroes? Yeah? Who's your favorite superhero?
Batman!
I think that you're going to be a hero when you grow up. What do you think about that? I think God's going to make you a hero and you're going to save people. How about that? Is that cool? Yeah? Yeah.
I just want to pray over Phoenix what I pray over my kids, and that's that Jesus will give you dreams and visions of the perfect plan and purpose he has for your life, and that you will love and follow him all of your days. Thank you, Jesus, for Phoenix.
Lord, I thank you for Isaac. He is an overseer. He's always watching. He's observing. He's mindful of your presence, Lord, and he's willing. He's got a willingness to step forward, and it's natural for him. It's a natural gift that he operates in, and just how important Isaac is to his family. Lord, his role is, he's valuable. He's important in the church. We need him, Lord. He's an encourager of the children around him in the Sunday school room. Sometimes he distracts, but most of the time he, which is just a normal thing, but he's tenderhearted, and he is a giver of support to the people round about him, Lord. I know Isaac cares about wounded people and hurting people, and you're going to use him that way, Lord, to go after the brokenhearted, Lord.
So I think one of the gifts of the Spirit that you're going to operate in, and maybe you do right now even, is in revelation, discernment, words of knowledge. And it kind of goes along with what Renee said, in that you're mindful of things. And you'll see things and maybe you won't understand them, but God's showing you things that you wouldn't see just looking at what's around in the world. He's showing you spiritual things about, I don't know, people, whatever. So I'm going to pray for you for that, because that's a gift from God. It can get twisted by the world, and we just want protection over Isaac for that. That as he has eyes to see in the Spirit, that he would see clearly, Lord, and he would know what to do and know what to say with that, and know how to carry that, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that you've given him parents that can lay that foundation for him to do that. Cool.
Because we've spent a lot of time together in church and stuff. You know, Cohen is much younger than you, but he has a willingness to try things, and he has kind of a boldness, kind of something. I mean, it's not cocky. Cocky is a negative thing. And it's not prideful. It's like the willingness to, like, you got it in front of the church. You can speak in public. It's paralyzing for some people. They just, you know, would do anything else but ever talk in front of people. But you'll, you know, like, man up and walk up there and do it, you know, and not out of cockiness, out of something the Lord's put in you. And I saw that in Cohen too. And he was like, Cohen was paying attention. You saw him, you know, for his age, understanding what was being said. And you're not the same as Cohen, I'm not saying that, but you have some qualities that are, you know, you're listening, you're paying attention, and you have a boldness, and you have something God's put in you that's given you the ability to step up and do stuff, you know. And so I bless that in him, Jesus. I just bless that in him, and help him never to use that in a wrong way, Lord. And help him not, don't let pride come on him. Help him to be bold and, you know, like how Russell Wilson acts, like, you know who he is? You know, I don't know what all he's up to, but I mean, he's got a certain quality, you know, a purity about him, hopefully. But, you know, you have that kind of quality, like, you know how he is? You know, so anyway, that's what I'm speaking out. I'm proclaiming that over you.
Isaac, I heard the word sacrificial, and you don't know what that means, do you? Well, remember when Abraham took Isaac up and he was going to sacrifice him, but then God provided the sacrifice, so Isaac was saved. When I heard the word sacrificial, it was like, you are so compassionate. You have a compassion, and you have a willingness to do stuff. But the Lord is going to take you to a place where you're really going to sacrifice some things, but you're not going to be afraid to do that. And it's all unto the Lord. So whether it's in sports, or whether it's in being a pastor someday, or whatever the Lord, because I really think that you'll probably be a pastor one day, because you have that pastor's heart. You have that sacrificial heart. And in order to be a pastor, you have to have that sacrificial heart. And so I just want to pray, Lord, I ask that you would continue to expand his heart and that you would continue to give him that compassion for people and that sacrificial ability to know that when he sacrifices, not only he's doing it unto you, but it's blessing those that he's doing it for. But in return, Isaac, you will be blessed. And your family will be blessed.
Well, this weekend, something really cool happened. We're actually just today, we're putting our camp stuff away, and your guys' mattress, you were deflating it, and you were like, oh, yeah, and you got jazzed about, like, laying on it and letting all the air out, and I said, hey, I'm going to have to call on you because I have a brand new mattress and it's double height. And you're like, okay, just like that. Okay. And so when the time came and I was taking all my things out, I said, hey, Isaac, will you come help me with my mattress? Here he comes. And he brings a buddy, and you had such a joyful heart to do it. And so I think that the Lord's going to use you to insert in being a servant for him. But I agree with the pastoral too, that he's going to use you. You have a heart that's big. And Lord, I pray that you would just use Isaac to help deflate all the things that aren't of you. And that you would just raise him up in his gifting, and you are a pretty amazing kid. And I got to see a glimpse of that this weekend with your willingness to serve, and I appreciate your help with the mattress.
Some of the stuff I'm going to say is just what other people have said, but when I look at you, and I can see that you're a seer. And that's what Mike said, too. And I really appreciate it in Sunday school because you listen. I can ask a question, and you answer it. You always have the answer because you listen. And I really appreciate that. And that's a good quality. And I also see the joy of the Lord on you. And that's awesome. Kind of like what Becca was talking about, you being excited and on the air mattress and all that. But that's a really good quality, to stay childlike and to keep that joy. And I also heard that, and maybe you already do this, but that you're going to have dreams and visions. I don't know if you've ever done that, but Jesus is going to give you dreams and visions. And maybe that's for later, maybe that's now. I don't know.
I'm going to say the same thing, but in a very different way, because the way I heard it was different. I heard you're going to pastor the world, and that's very different from pastoring a church like what this is right now. And so there's a pastor's call on you, but I feel like it has to go in a different direction, and it's going to look different from what you've known before. Some people pastor in their workplace. Some people pastor in their friendships. And so he just says you're going to pastor the world.
The scripture I have is Romans 12:2, and I'm going to paraphrase it for you, because you're not going to be conforming. You're not going to be like the rest of the world. You'll see people doing things, and you will have no interest. But you are going to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to guide your mind. When you seek him, when you seek Jesus, he's going to set your mind on the path that will take you where you want to go, because you want to go where he wants you to go, and that's pretty obvious already. And so as you speak to him and as you listen to him and as you think about those dreams and visions that he's going to bring you, he's going to take you down a path that is going to be so satisfying. It's going to make you happy. And when you do that,
you're going to know God's perfect will for your life.
I got this week, I've been hearing like Isaiah, and I'm like, well, what, like, where at in Isaiah, Lord? Like, and literally just in the bathroom, he goes, Isaiah 54:13. So I come out here and I look in the King James Version. I'm like, I think I'll go get my phone. But all your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. And then continuing on into 14, in righteousness you will be established. Tyranny will be far from you. You will have nothing to fear. Terror will be far removed. It will not come near you. If anyone does attack you, it will not be my doing. Whoever attacks you will surrender to you. Dig into Isaiah, because I think there's more in Isaiah for you. But specifically, that's what he gave just today.
Kiana, I heard hiddenness. There's a hiddenness that the Lord's going to keep you in.
I got the word trustworthy, that you can be trusted. You're a good friend and a good sister.
I heard the word flower, that you are a flower to Jesus, and that flowers, they smell really good, and that they're fragrant, and that you are very fragrant to him.
Kiana, I know that you're the oldest. I'm the oldest too, and I have two younger sisters. But I see you watching out for your little sisters, and especially Victoria, just watching over her. And you know what? The Lord loves that. He loves that you watch over your sisters. And he is going to use you when you get now and when you get older, when you get to be a big girl. He's going to use you to watch over other people and be kind of have like a shepherd's heart. You have a shepherd's heart. So to kind of just be very watchful, because you are. And that's really cool.
Kiana, do you know what sport your mom was best at? Soccer. I really felt strongly that she's going to have a really that sports are going to be a real strength for her. And not just that she's able to do sports well, but God's going to use sports as a way for her to touch other people's lives. She's going to be that one girl who everybody wants to be like on the team. And so we just pray that every obstacle to you being an excellent at sports would be moved out of the way, and you'd be an amazing, amazing soccer player.
I just seen you draw beautiful pictures and with beautiful color and design. When we do art, you always get a plan, and it's your own plan. You got to know that when you do a picture like that, it's a gift in you. God's put a gift in you to draw and to design. And so he wants you to know that your pictures make him happy.
You're going to walk in grace like a princess. Mom, you'll have to explain about walking in grace, but you have it.
I also heard the word princess. And you are the oldest one. And Kiana, I just saw you really walking out faith. You're going to have faith like the women in the Bible had faith. That's what you're going to be doing. And you're going to do it in princess style, whatever that means.
Everybody's mentioning princesses, but I'm sorry, you're wrong. It's a queen. Esther. Esther watched out for her people, and she was put in such a unique place to save all of their lives. And the same way that you're a big sister and you watch out for your little sisters, God's going to use that in such a big way.
Lord, I just thank you for Eileen. I just thank you for the boldness that you've placed in her, that she just gets on the stage. I know that it's her age, but I think it's more than that. I think that you've called her to a boldness, and that you have something really special for her. Jesus has something special for you. And he's going to take you and do big things.
I heard, Eileen, that you're a joy giver. Yeah. Yeah. You are going to be exuberantly, huge word, giving joy to people that you just run across. That there will be joy just bursting out of you. And people will walk by you and they will just be filled with joy because you have the joy of Jesus in the midst of your heart.
And I second that. I just heard joy too. And every time I see her at church, she brings so much joy to my heart. She's just an amazing little rascal. Yes.
And she knows the presence of the Lord and enters into worship in his presence already.
I instantly heard a song by Mute Math called Peculiar People. And it says, we can fly with the wings of eagles. We can fly with the wings of eagles. We are a peculiar people, this I know. We can fly with the wings of eagles. We are a peculiar people. We are a peculiar people. We must set our hope and future to the sky. We are a peculiar people. We are a peculiar people. We will shed our human skin and learn to fly. With a word, we can drown a mountain. With a word, we can drown a mountain into the seas surrounding, don't you know? With a word, we can drown a mountain. We are peculiar people. We are a peculiar people. There is more to who we are than meets the eye. We are a peculiar people. We are a peculiar people. And no one will convince me otherwise. We were born to fly. You and I were summoned to the sky. It's a prophetic call upon our life. It's a prophetic worship call upon our life. It's a strong seer anointing. And it even has a taste of the mystic realm. And so, Lord, we just pray over her, Lord, that you will protect her, that you would seal her, that you would give her parents the wisdom that's from the throne room of heaven in how they educate and raise her, Lord. We ask, Father, that you'd be a shield around about her in every way. And we just declare that she will be a voice that can cast a mountain into the sea. Whoa, that she will be a voice that has authority.
Isabella, we love you. We love you. We think you're the coolest. And I love the way you help. And you want to learn about Jesus. And you help your mommy. And you adore your mommy. And Jesus says to you that he loves you and he wants to give you kisses.
Hi, Bella. I had a word for you right away when I saw you sitting up there next to Jeff on the other side when we were praying for Kiana. And the Lord said, no, this word's for Bella, that you're very strong. He gave me the word fortified for your information, Mom. And so that means you're going to not just be strong with the Lord's might to help yourself, but for your other people.
I know that you guys call her Bella, but the Lord said she's more Izzy than she is Bella. And that she's going to, that things are going to go a 180 from what you think, that she's going to be completely different when she gets older than the way she seems like right now. And so we release the expression of life that's in Isabella that you place there, Lord. Let her become what you want her to be, and let her be full strength. Let her not be half strength anything, but let her be full strength everything you created her to be.
Did you see the cartoon Brave? Did you see that redheaded girl with that bow? That's what I saw when you got up there. I saw the redheaded little girl with that bow.
Well, I have kind of a wild sounding. I got, she's a wild hare. And then I kind of got more on it that you're in between. You're the middle sister, and that you will not be contained, that because you're going to be your own person, and there's going to be a wildness in your heart, but it's a wildness for Jesus. She's going to do things that maybe the others wouldn't do, but it's a Jesus wildness.
Just as Isabella has a strong sense of self, and her identity is not going to be taken away from her by anybody.
Isabella, even though you have stripes and polka dots on the same dress, it kind of goes with what Jeff was saying and what a couple other people were saying, is that you're Bella to all of us, but you're also Isabella. And that the Lord really is. I love all the pictures, but we think you're one way, and the Lord's saying, no, I'm creating her this way.
I heard Jesus say that he's made you fierce, Isabella. Bella, hi. Jesus has made you fierce. Do you know what fierce means? Like a lion? Lions are fierce. He's put a fierceness in you for him, and he's going to use you in a mighty way.
I've had to work really hard to get you to recognize me, but you're doing it. But I had to really work at it. Seriously. No, I mean, she's not just going to, like, she's not going to, it's got to be her way. And that's not wrong. She's got a strong personality. And it's a good thing. God gave that to you. But you actually talk to me now. But I've really had to work at that for like 6 months at least, or a year maybe. And that's cool. And so even if you don't totally understand what I'm saying, I speak out over you. Just don't let that get watered down. Let it get formed by the Lord. But just let the Lord use that in you. Even if you're looking at me like, what? You know, like, it's happening. It's real. It's been instilled and put into you by the Lord.
I looked your name up, and it means beautiful, and you are beautiful. And it said, God is my oath. And so this is a beautiful girl. She will become a beautiful woman, and she will stand and give testimony of the greatness of her God. And I just thank you for it, Jesus. I thank you for beautiful Bella.
Ethan, oh my gosh, I just love you. You are such a patient young boy. And you have a really soft heart for Jesus. And when I was sitting back there, I said, Lord, what do you want Ethan to know? And it's kind of like David, King David, but when he was a boy. And it wasn't so much that you're going to be slaying giants, which you could, because David did. But it was the heart after God, that you have a heart after God, that you love him so much, and he loves you so much, that as you are walking along, and sometimes you get kind of afraid. You don't have to. David didn't have to be afraid because he knew God loved him. And God was always with him. And God never left David. And he'll never leave you. He's always going to love you, no matter how afraid you are, or how happy you are, or how silly you are. He's always there for you.
Ethan, there's this guy, his name is John Mark McMillan, and everybody told him he could never sing or lead worship, and everybody told him that he didn't have it in him to be able to do what was in his heart. And the Lord put such a tenacity in him that he didn't care what anybody else said. He knew who he was created to be. He knew his identity in Christ. And he became exactly what everybody said he couldn't be. And I heard that over you. I heard that you're somebody who's going to know who you are so well that you won't let anybody else put on you what you can and can't do. The limits that man wants to put on you, there's going to be a courageousness in you that says, not my God, he didn't limit me that way. So Lord, we speak to that place in his spirit, this place that will know his identity and will never be robbed, the place that will be able to overcome every word that would ever say he can't, and that he would be all he's created to be.
I just heard something really cool. I heard that you are a dragon slayer. And a hero.
And he's gonna need a sword then.
Hey Ethan, have you asked Jesus into your heart? The answer is yes. No, you have, right? Okay. But was it your idea to get baptized or your mom and dad's? Did somebody tell you to do it or did you decide to do it? You decided? We're gonna have the Sunday school picnic at my house in August next month, and so we're going to baptize you in the creek. Is that what you want to have happen? Awesome. Well, you're growing as a Christian. You decided to ask Jesus into your heart. Nobody made you do that, right? You decided to get baptized. Then there's going to be more steps, you know, reading the Bible and stuff, and all those kind of things are going to start being in front of you. And so, Lord, I just pray that he would keep making these steps to grow into, you're going to be a man someday, right? You're a boy now, but you're going to be a man, right? And so you want to be a man of God? So you got to keep making these steps. So, Lord, I bless that, and don't let anything come in the way of that. Amen. Amen.
Ethan is the character in Mission Impossible, so I pray, Lord, that you would make every mission possible. It's impossible to the world. You make it possible through you. Amen.
When you first sat down, I just heard the words respect and honor. So you will be a man of respect and honor, and it's due to your respect and honor to God.
I got speaker of truth. And when I went to China, before I went, we sang the song. It said, I'm going to be a history maker. I'm going to be a speaker of truth. I'm going to run into the arms of who? Who would you run into the arms of? Yes, God. Then you do pray in class, and you do awesome, and God loves it.
I have noticed just watching her with Rick back here. This is one girl who's going to get her way. So I just see a tenacious and honor in such a way that it's like Miriam. Miriam was very tenacious, and she, huge, huge ability to set captives free and to lead the way. And I see that in her. And she's a fighter, man. She's gonna kick some devil butt.
Victory in Jesus, her savior forever.
I wasn't gonna share this because but I saw in all three of the girls, and as Victoria sat up there, I really felt like I was supposed to speak it out. So, Michael, pay attention. What I saw in all three of the girls was I saw my mom, which is me and Michael's mom and the girls' grandma. And what I saw was that everything that my mom was called to be and do in Christ that she denied, the girls were going to fulfill. And so, Lord, We just thank you so much for these girls, Lord, and the calling that you have on their lives, Lord Jesus. And Father, I just proclaim that you have called them to be overcomers, Lord, that you have called this generation to make a difference and to change and to be overcomers, Lord. The things that the generations in the past were called to do and could not overcome, we just proclaim that these girls will overcome and that they will change the direction of this family, Lord.
Well, even though that she's a little peanut, Victoria, God has made you strong. And I saw you toddling and climbing up on those stairs, and you just threw yourself with full force. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just use her full force for your kingdom. Whatever that looks like, I just pray that you would use her full force.
I just heard tiny but very mighty, and that there's nothing that's going to stop her for the Lord, that she is going to go for it, and nothing's going to get in her way. So, Lord, I ask that there would be no obstacles, and the obstacles that may come, that she would just blow right through those because she's going after you, that she's seeking you. We just thank you, Lord, for Victoria. She has victory all over her. Tiny but mighty.
And I basically heard the same thing. Mighty warrior.
Every time I hear the name Victoria, it reminds me of old English names. Like, just, it's an old name, but she is a new person. There has never been someone like Victoria before, and she's going to do amazing things.
Hi. You probably have to ask your grandparents this because your parents aren't old enough to know. But I kept getting the picture of a speaker out in a Victoria phonograph record. Like a big old, Victoria, I think is what it's called. Victoria. And it kind of goes along with that big things come out of small things because it's just a little tiny needle and it makes a lot of noise.
So, Judy, you're a big boy now, right? 3 years old? You're in the big kids class? You're not in the nursery anymore? Nope. Do you want to learn more stuff about the Lord? And hang out with your brothers and your other friends? And Bella's a big kid now, right? Amen.
Hey, Judah. Hey, a few years ago when you were being dedicated to the Lord, you know what happened that day? God came and he blew wind in my face right when you were being dedicated to Jesus. And I just really felt like God is saying that you're going to bring the Holy Spirit when you walk into a room. And it's going to be powerful. Lord Jesus is going to be all over you. And people are going to feel the Holy Spirit when you come in the room.
Judah, remember when we were camping and you came up to me and we were at the briquette campfire and you came up and you were so excited and you said, I saw a salamander. No, you said, I saw something. And I said, what did you see? And you said, I saw a salamander. And you know what? I wanted to see it myself. But I was visiting with my friends. I really wanted to go with you because you were so excited. So, Lord, I just pray that you would keep that excitement going in Judah, that you would increase that, his excitement for you, and you would keep his eyes open, that he would be very watchful and aware of what's going on around him, because he already is. He's seeing salamanders and all kinds of things. And the Lord thinks that's pretty awesome, Judah.
I heard Ark of the Covenant, and then I immediately, I know, he's like, where? Show me now. And then the next thing that happened is the Lord showed me Indiana Jones, and he showed me an explorer. And he showed me that you have this exploration thing when it just goes along with the word about the salamander and all of that thing. So he's going to take you on a journey.
He's going to take you on a journey, and your life is going to be exciting in God. He's going to teach you really cool stuff about his presence.
I'm just thankful for Judah and how blessed I am to have him as my brother and how funny he is sometimes. That's all.
I love that, Isaac. That's awesome. Judah. Hey, you and your mom and myself and Amy went to IHOP when you were 4 months old. Do you remember? I don't think so. But when we would go into the prayer room, you would be just a four-month-old, and you would just calm down every time you went into that prayer room where there was worship. And so when I was looking at you tonight, I went, we do a lot together, don't we? We go have coffee, and we go to the candy store, and we do a lot of things, don't we? Yeah. But the thing that the Lord brought back to me is that you're going to be a worshiper. That you, from the time you were little, loved worship. And that's not going to change. That you're going to be worshiping for the Lord. Amen. You are. You're going to be a worshiper for the Lord, along with Indiana Jones. Because Indiana Jones probably had to, the covenant of the ark, David danced. We won't go into that. It was great.
So Isaac plays the guitar, and Jacob plays the drums. What do you want to play?
You gonna sing?
You want to sing?
Yes.
You can have it all.
Now, I hope your parents don't hate me about this, but I saw Aslan from Narnia because he was not a tame lion. And you're never going to be able to be tamed.
I got the word forerunner. And you know what? When you were little, Bella would be like, oh, blah, 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 blah. And you'd be like, Carrie Beth. And you talked way before Bella did. And now you ride your bike without training wheels. And Bella can't quite ride her bike without training wheels. But you're ahead of the game. And you're out there doing stuff, and you're going to be a forerunner for Christ. And to add to Caroline's, you may be not able to tame, but I got a picture of a lion next to a sheep. You're going to be gentle.
I got fast and furious action adventure. That all goes with your Indiana Jones prophecy.
We're done. Yeah,
well,
there's one more.
Caroline has a baby.
Well, Lord, I just thank you for Caroline. Just she's prophetic, Lord. And I just ask you to bless her. It's so lovely to hear her give living words to people. And Lord, I just love her, care about her. We care about her, Lord. And we care about this baby that's being formed in her womb as we speak, Lord. You're knitting the baby in her womb as we speak. What a miracle, Lord. And we just are thankful. And I just ask your marvelous Holy Spirit to overwhelm Caroline with just a greater, bigger, huger understanding of your love for her and her beloved family, Lord.
I thank you, Yeshua, for Caroline. I thank you that she's got a healthy, beautiful little boy and a man that loves and stands beside her. And I thank you for this life that's growing in her. And I just ask for all your blessings to be upon this family and upon the lives of her children. May they grow to love and honor you all the days of their lives.
I heard that this baby's going to be a peacemaker. So, Lord, I bless the peacemaker in this child that you're creating and knitting right now. Lord, that
you give a peace that passes all understanding, Lord, and that this child is going to walk in a peace that passes all understanding and be able to rest in you.
Right before Lisa got up here, I just heard restoration. So, Lord, however that looks for you, I just pray your restoration, whether that's in her family, her siblings, her parents, I just pray your restoration would just come in a sweet, sweet way, and that you would break down walls that have been put up, and that you would just crush them, and that you would bring your peace that passes all understanding. There's nothing too great for you, God, and we thank you for that. Thank you for Caroline and Phoenix.
I just have a real memory of Caroline as like about 3-year-old girl out in the camp out, and she got her feelings hurt, and she burst into the most deepest cry. I remember it. I remember seeing it. I remember her tender heart. And I mean, she was, there was a beautiful innocence about her and naivety about her. And she got hurt and wounded and she started to cry. And it was such a deep wounded cry. And I just know, Lord, you're about healing those deep wounds. And you are such, I just think of the marvelous Holy Spirit, Lord, and how he has such an understanding of her. And it'll be as you're led into the healing. But Caroline, it is happening, and it is going to continue to happen. But he won't violate. He'll never violate or force or push on you, Lord, or Caroline. Because he's so gentle. And you know, he gently leads those that are with young. And you're with young and carrying a baby in your womb. So he's going to gently lead you. So if ever you feel pushed or prodded upon from the backside, you can know quickly that isn't my Lord, because my Lord will lead me as a gentle shepherd.
I just got a couple words. Just divine appointment. And that's all the Lord gave me, so I don't know, but divine appointment.
I just have to say how blessed I am to have you as a friend all these years, and how proud of you I am that you're sitting here. And I just know that the Lord's smiling down on you, and he's given you a voice for a reason, Caroline, and your voice is loud, and your voice is strong, and it stands for justice, and there's a calling on your life, and it may go against the grain, and it may be incredibly hard to walk out, but that with that calling comes grace, and if you just keep pressing in, and you just keep walking and chugging along, there's a grace that he has provided for you. And so, Lord, I just ask that in her sleep, Lord, you would strengthen her. Lord, in her sleep, you would give her direction. In her sleep, you would give her the words to speak forth, Lord. And just to speak forth for her family. And Caroline, as you're sitting up here, and I just remember walking into this building, and being 19 and scared to death, and your mom took me under her wing, and your siblings were running around wild like my boys do. And I was thinking about all your siblings, and you're the only one that's standing here today. And God has a purpose and a plan for you. And I really, really believe that through your prayers and through you holding on to Jesus, that things are going to begin to shift. So, Lord, I just love her so much, and as I know that you do, Lord, and we just pray protection over this baby, Lord. And as Lisa prayed, peacemaker, over this baby, I just started laughing under my breath because that was also prayed over Ethan and Judah. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to come out and be these sweet little things that are peace. Because the peace that they bring is the Lord's peace, not the worldly peace. And so with that peace, they may be putting things in order that really just messes up your entire world. I mean, I literally, with those two, I have cried out to God. It was prophesied over them. They were going to be peaceful. I've said it to them. You're supposed to be peaceful because it's just a chaos breaking out. And I'm at my wit's end in tears because I don't know how to parent them. But it's a different kind of peace. It's a peace that comes from the Lord. And it's a peace. It's an end time peace that they're going to carry. And so I just ask that, Lord, that you would just give Caroline the wisdom to parent this baby, Lord, so that this baby would bring forth your peace, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
This really goes along with what she said. But the Lord said, this baby's going to spin you around. And the picture I got is when, in those cartoons, when something starts spinning and it's going to transform, it's going to be changed from one thing to another thing. This baby's going to cause, it's going to initiate transformation in you and your family. This baby's literally going to spin everything around for you. It's going to change everything for you. So get ready. Get ready. Things are changing. Things are changing. So I guess the more maturity that comes in the prophetic, the longer it takes to do this because it's been a couple hours. And I just want to thank those of you who stayed to the very end because these kids are worth it. They're worth it. What's a half an hour, getting out of here a half an hour ago, going to do to change your life? And yet these kids has got things spoken to them. It's going to change everything. So thank you guys. Bless you.